Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Elizabeth Rosenthal joins us again from Kaiser Health News. Haven't talked to you in a while, Elizabeth. Thanks for joining us on WGN. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me back.
You're in the editor-in-chief at Kaiser Health. And in fact, Steve Alexander and I both have read the book Bad Blood. It sort of details the Theranos story and Elizabeth Holmes. But why don't you, before I ask you about your thoughts on the trial, just tell us who she is and what Theranos was.
Sure. Elizabeth Holmes is and was a Stanford dropout who started a company called Theranos that sounded amazing. The promise was that by pricking your finger and taking a few drops of blood, you could do 200 tests on this little drop of blood. And she said she had a machine that would do it all. And it sounded great. She got really high profile investors and board members. And yet, it proved to be kind of smoke and mirrors. It was an enticing idea, but it didn't deliver. And it took years for people to understand that it didn't deliver. She actually sold this idea to a number of drugstores who put in Theranos labs, which were supposedly using this technology. And what became clear after a while was that, A, the results on this little drop of blood were not very accurate, and B, that in fact, many of the samples that these drugstores were taking were done the old-fashioned way by drawing blood out of a vein in your arm.
And the crime, if you will, isn't that the technology didn't work, but that they knew better, were selling it to people, selling it on people, and giving false medical information because they didn't want to admit that they just did not have the technology down, or that it was almost impossible to get that much information from that small amount of blood, right?
Well, that remains the question, and I think it's what worries me about all of these, like, new fads in health tech. Some of these things may, in fact, be possible at some point, but they're being sold and heavily invested in by venture capital before we know if they work. And, health tech is all the rage now. I'm all in when it's good for patients. But often we find it's much better for investors who make a killing than it is for the end result, which is often it just doesn't deliver. And I think the sad thing is the concept may be right. Maybe we can find out things on a drop of blood, but this particular company wasn't able to do it.
And so the idea is that with a drop of blood, it would run diagnostic tests on hundreds of things. And what would it tell you, like if you had cancer or a predisposition for cancer, all kinds of things, right?
Yeah, all kinds of things, and we know a drop of blood, for example, can tell you your glucose level. It could probably tell you a lot of important basic tests, so you wouldn't have to undergo those blood draws. But 200 and, cancer screenings, that's over-promising. And I think the problem with health tech at this point, it does over-promise for its investors.
America wasn't built by Wall Street. They're not.
Keep going.
And that leads to disappointment and fraud for patients.
Yeah, well, that's, I guess, where the crime is. So what is it fraud? What is the allegation against her in court?
It's that she promised things she couldn't deliver. It's essentially a fraud claim.
Yeah. Talk about Elizabeth Holmes for a minute. She's a big part of the story. It's not just the technology. It's her, isn't it?
Well, yes. But this is common in these kind of cool startup companies. There's often a very charismatic founder with a good narrative. The 19-year-old Stanford dropout. She's a very striking woman who, like Steve Jobs, dresses all in black. He kind of created this mystique around this, brilliant, innovative startup founder. And a lot of people have tried to kind of mimic that. And not all of them have delivered what you could say Apple. Whatever you think of Steve Jobs, he delivered the products, right, in the end. And now it's become as much performance as deliverance. And that's a real problem.
Mm. I think an interesting question, too, is I wonder what her motive was originally. I think she had good intentions, right? She wasn't a con artist. She was maybe...
No. I think she wasn't a con artist, or I hope she wasn't a con artist. I think, you know, the potential for health tech is huge, and she likely, I mean, I can't speak for her, believed that this was possible. I think there are scientists who believe that it is possible, but she didn't kind of tie the bow and seal the deal and make it happen, and yet kept on promoting it, if it was happening. And that's where the problem comes in.
And maybe the money is a factor, too, because now she's one of the richest women in the world, and she's got billions of dollars of valuations. And so now you hate to say, oh, but it's not working, and the whole thing may collapse like a house of cards. So she's building it up. She's propping it up. Now she's being deceptive. Now she's controlling information. She's having the employees sign non-disclosure agreements that are punitive in a lot of ways. And so suddenly now she's doing everything to keep the empire going, when in fact the empire doesn't work. I mean, you can just see how, I don't know if this is almost like a Bernie Madoff. Madoff didn't start out as a con artist. Madoff was actually a good investor once upon a time. But then you start to build this thing up and you can't get out of it.
Yeah, I think you come to believe in your own narrative. You come to wish it were true. You put a lot of money in it. You have a lot of people who put a lot of money in it, who you feel responsible to. And the problem is, people who don't deliver in our new world of health tech and startups often walk off with a lot of money. I mean, you look at what happened to WeWork, and it's implosion, right? You know, it failed, but the people who started it walked off as many millionaires, many times over. So there's a lot of failing up in the startup world. And I think, you know, we really need to think carefully about health tech investments and ask for proof, not just a good narrative in the future.
You may notice that the Chicago Tribune editorialized in favor of Walgreens putting up those Theranos booths in kind of line with what you're saying. They said, yeah, it didn't work, and they had no evidence that it would work. But here's what they also feared. CVS would get ahead of them in line. Rite Aid would get ahead of them in line, and they couldn't afford to be third place on this new technology and the place to go to get the blood pricked and then everything, you know. So Walgreens dives in with really not much more than some bad meetings with her. But they just felt like they couldn't afford to not be in the game. You know what I mean?
Yeah, sure. You want to be in for your finances. You want to offer the cool new thing. I mean, one of my reporters at Kaiser Health News had done a story in one of these Walgreens sites. And when she asked to see the machine, to see it work, to see someone getting their finger pricked, suddenly the fire alarm went off and they were told, oh, you have to evacuate and, you know, you can't see it. So, you know, there was a Wizard of Oz-like quality about the whole operation on the ground. But, you know, as I said, for me, the tragedy is that the idea, the concept may be possible and would be wonderful to avoid all those blood draws.
Yeah.
But this company, Theranos, didn't deliver it and stuck with it even when, you know, it's a very hard thing for startups to say, you know, I was wrong. We're not there yet. You want to, like, keep with the narrative of this is a great new idea and it's going to revolutionize medicine. It didn't.
And not that you should go to jail for this, but this is also part of the story. She and her boyfriend who ran that company were awful to work for, just terrible employers. And I think that's why some people are sort of rubbing their hands watching this thing happen. Elizabeth Rosenthal is the editor-in-chief at Kaiser Health News. Let's talk again soon, Elizabeth. It's always a pleasure to visit with you.
Thank you. You too.